بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today is our 14th session, Medina Book 2. And today we should be starting a new lesson, بإذن الله تعالى. Lesson number 7. I think for homework, even though I didn't send you out a specific homework assignment, I did send you a reminder to make sure you do your homework. And I think I mentioned before the class was over last week what the homework was. And the homework every week is always the same basically, right? The homework is what? Write out the exercises that we did in the class. And then start looking at the next, whatever's following that. Whatever we were up to, look at the next exercises or the next lesson. Preview the key vocabulary and dialogue for a new lesson if it's coming up. Or go over whatever is necessary for the lesson that we haven't completed yet. So last week, alhamdulillah, we finished lesson number 6. So you should have completed the writing of the exercises from lesson number 6 that we did in the class, which I think was from 10 or something like that. Let me see. It was from where? From 10 to 18. The exercises we did in class last week was from 10 to 18. And lesson number 6. And you should have, after completing those exercises that we did in class, after completing the writing of them, you should have went on to lesson number 7 and looked at the key, the grammatical points, and the vocabulary and the dialogue for lesson number 7. And that's what we're going to do today. So if you already looked at it, alhamdulillah, that's good. And you will be, you know, should be right on point with us. And if you didn't look at it, then inshallah we're going to go over it now. All right. We didn't get a chance to do review today because of, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with a new brother, accepted Islam. And please make dua for the brother. And those of you who may see the brother, he lives in this area. Let's try to give him a good welcome and encouragement and treat him kindly and gently. Please remind the brothers to treat him kindly and gently. He's new, delicate. Now, okay. So, before we start the reading of the key, is there any questions about lesson number 6, what we covered in lesson number 6, or the exercises, or anything during the homework? Did you have any problems? We can look at it quickly. Lesson number 6. If there's nothing left from lesson number 6, inshallah, we go straight into the key for lesson number 7. Okay, lesson number 7 has a number of points. 6, 7, I don't know, 8 maybe, right? 8, 9 points in the key. We're going to look at them quickly, okay? We're going to look at them quickly. And you can stop me. You can stop me as I'm going through the grammatical points for this new lesson. If there's something that's not clear to you, you can stop me. Otherwise, I'm just going to go through them quickly because I hope that you have already read it already. I hope that you have already read it. Okay, whatever is difficult, I'll take my time on it. Whatever is not difficult, I'm just going to like mention it in passing. All right? So please, let's focus, so we don't spend a lot of time with this, and we can get straight to the dialogue for this lesson. Okay, lesson number 7, key, English key on page 23. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number 1, ذهبتم. ذهبتم, you, masculine, plural, went. You went. أكلتم, you, masculine, plural, ate. Okay, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the masculine, plural, second person pronoun when it's added to the verb. Okay, the verb dhahaba, if you're talking to a group of men, you say dhahabtum, dhahabtum, dhahabtum. That means you all went. From akala, you say akaltum. خذوا في المكتب حتى لا يشوش إلينا أكلتم means from أكلا أكلتم means أنتم أكلتم you all ate. We have a sentence here. ماذا أكلتم يا إخوانو. Okay, what did you eat, oh brothers? This is on page 23 of the English key, the back of the book. Okay, ماذا أكلتم, meaning أنتم, ماذا أكلتم يا إخوان, what did you eat brothers? Okay, this is the masculine second person plural form for the verb. And likewise, in this lesson, we're going to also take the feminine plural second person for the verb. If you were speaking directly to a group of women, antunna, you say ذهبتunna. Okay, the pronoun, the independent pronoun, separate pronoun, munfasil is antunna. For masculine, antum. For feminine, antunna. So you would say what? ذهبتunna. That's you, feminine, plural, second person, went. قرأ, from قرأ, you say قرأتunna. You, feminine, second person, plural, read. You read. Okay, in the sentences that they give here, أَكَرَأْتُنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَجَلَّةَ يَا أَخَوَاتُ أَكَرَأْتُنَّ. From قَرَأَ, قَرَأْتُنَّ أَنْتُنَّ. Did you read this magazine, sisters, oh sisters? Okay, so these are two forms of the verb that we're going to take, second person, plural, masculine and feminine. And the third form of the verb that we're going to take is for the first person, plural, نَحْنُ. ذَهَبْنَا. On the verb you say what? From ذَهَبَ, ذَهَبْنَا. From سَمِعَ, سَمِعْنَا. We went, we heard. In the sentence, the example they give is مَا سَمِعْنَا الْأَذَانَ. We did not hear the أذان. مَا is for negation, right? سَمِعْنَا is the past tense. And الْأَذَان is the what? The مَفْعُولٌ بِ. مَنْسُوب. The sign that is مَنْسُوب is فَتَّة. Okay, ما سمعنا الأذانة. So these are three forms of the verb that we have. Okay, they're all plurals. Two of them are second person, masculine and feminine, plural. And the third one is first person plural. That's used for masculine and used for feminine. Okay, so any question about that? We gave you the verb forms, the whole chart of the verb forms 2 weeks ago, I think. And hopefully you have studied it. So you know how to conjugate the verb from ذهبتُ, ذهبتَ, ذهبتِ, ذهبنَ, ذهبتُم, ذهبتُنَّ, ذهبوا, ذهبنَ. You should know all of these forms of the verb. These are the ones that were remaining that we didn't cover previously. Okay, first person plural, second person plural, masculine and feminine. Alright, after that, this fourth point has a couple of things that we have to look at, okay? So I'm going to take my time with this. Please try to focus, okay? First point, number four says, رَأَيْتُمُوهُ, رَأَيْتُمُوهُ. This is the form of the verb for second person masculine plural, رَأَيْتُم. Like we had, ذَهَبْتُمْ, أَكَلْتُمْ, رَأَيْتُمْ. But added to this رَأَيْتُمْ is the pronoun who, which means you all saw him. Whenever you have the masculine second person plural antum on a verb, like you say ra'aytum, akaltum, dhahabtum, and you add a pronoun to it, you have to add a waw in between the verb and the pronoun, that is the object of the verb. You have to add a waw. So instead of saying ra'aytum hu, you're going to say ra'aytumuhu. You're going to add a waw. Ra'aytum, ra'aytumu. Alright? It's for the masculine, second person, plural. Masculine, second person, plural. Okay? So that's one thing. Second thing, they give you some more words here. We have ra'aytu hu. Okay, now we have first person singular, ra'aytu, ana. Ana, ra'aytu hu. The pronoun hu is the object of the verb, right? I saw him. Okay? Ra'aytu hu. That means ana, ra'aytu hu. After that you have ra'aytahu. Ra'aita means anta, ra'aitahu. Second person singular, masculine. Anta, ra'aitahu. Who is the object of the verb? You saw him. Now, we see that there's something different here. We have the ra'aiti, which is second person, feminine, singular. Anti, ra'aiti. Anta, ra'aita, feminine, anti, ra'aiti. Because of the kasra in ra'aiti, the who, which is the object of the verb here, the pronoun who, you, feminine singular, saw him, because of the kasra vowel and the end of the verb ra'aiti, the who is changed in pronunciation from who to he. Okay? And we said before that both who and whom, if they preceded by a kasra or kasra ya is going to change from who to he, from whom to him. Huh? Alright? So this is another point here. And this is the point of pronunciation, that it's easier to vocalize the word in this manner. So for this reason they have changed it from who to he. Note that in the last example, the pronoun who has changed here to he. This change is for vocalic harmony. Yani just for the vocalization of the word, it's easier to pronounce like this. The combination tihi sounds better than tihu. Here are some more examples of this kind of change. We're going to come back to the footnote, inshallah. Okay? So we have, for example, more examples. Baituhu means what? What does Baituhu mean? His house. The house of him. It's a mudhaf ilay. Okay, with a pronoun. Baituhu, his house. But if the bait is following a preposition, it becomes majrur. So instead of baitu, it becomes baiti, right? So now the who, because it's preceded by a kasra, it also changes from what? Who to he. So you say, baitihi, fi baitihi. Okay, the meaning doesn't change, but it's just the reading of it that's changed because of the vowel here. And likewise, you have minhu, and in the preposition min, and the pronoun who. But if it was fi, you don't say fi hu, you say fi he. Because whenever the who is preceded by kasra or ya, then it changes from who to he, from whom to him. Okay, so you have minhu, but because of the kasra, you have fi he. Now, as you have seen in these examples, the accusative pronoun. What is the accusative pronoun? What do we mean by the accusative pronoun? The pronoun fi mahalli nasb. The pronoun is in the place where it should be mansub. Because what is the object of the verb? Or it could be the ism of inna, right? Because ism inna is mansub. But in this case, we're talking about the object of the verb. The object of the verb is maf'ulun bi, right? And maf'ulun bi is mansub. But if it's a pronoun, we don't say that it's mansub. We say it's in the place where it should be mansub. We say it's fi mahalli nasb. Okay, so it's accusative. So this is what they're talking about, the accusative pronoun. They're talking about the object of the verb, the maf'ulun bi. As you have seen in these examples, the accusative pronoun is directly added to the verb. Huh? It's directly added to the verb. Like for an example, ra'aytuhu. I saw him. Ra'aytahu. You saw him. Okay? But in the case of the verb with the pronoun of the second person masculine plural. Second person, masculine, plural. What do we mean by second person, masculine, plural? Second person, masculine, plural. What are these three things? What is the second person? You, the person that you're talking to directly. Masculine means the masculine form. You're talking to a male, right? And plural means three or more. So you're saying second person singular is what? Anta. Second person, plural, masculine is antum. Okay, so here they're talking about what? They're talking about the pronoun of the second person, masculine, plural, which on the verb it should be, tum, ra'aytum. In this case, in the case of the verb, with the pronoun of the second person, masculine, plural, the pronoun here is tu, with mim, right, which indicates plurality, tum. Like in the verb, ra'aytum, a waw has to be added between the verb and the pronoun. For example, originally, it should be ra'aytumhu. But in the case of the second person, masculine plural, tum, ra'aytum, akaltum, dhahabtum, kharajtum. This tum, when it's followed by a pronoun, the pronoun is not connected to the tum, but rather it's separated in between them with a waw. So you say ra'aytum, ra'aytumu, ra'aytumuhum. Ra'aytumuhu, ra'aytumuha, okay? It's separated with a waw. So you're going to add a waw here. So this is just something that you got to get in your mind. Whenever you're using second person, masculine, plural, tum. Dakhaltum, jalastum, akaltum, sharibtum. Whenever you're using this form of the verb, this pronoun here, which is the subject, right? The fa'il, the one that's doing action. Tum, antum, ra'aytum, antum. You are the one who's doing the action in this verb. Whenever you see that fa'il for the second person, masculine, plural, tum, if you add a pronoun to it, you have to add a waw in between the pronoun and the subject of the verb.
Okay, so you said that in this Ra'aytum. Ra'aytum.
Ra'aytum.
Ra'aytum. Okay? If you wanted to add a pronoun here, you can connect it and say Ra'aytumhu. You can't say Ra'aytumhu. You can't do that. You can't connect it directly. But rather, in between the verb, the pronoun, which is the subject of the verb, and the this pronoun, which is the object of the verb, you're going to add waw. And in that case, you're going to put make this sukun, you're going to make it dhamma. Ra'aytumuhu. Ra'aytumuhu. Okay? This, the subject of the verb, the fa'il, is tum. If there's a pronoun that's the object of the verb added to it, it can't be connected directly like this. Ra'aytumhu. But rather, you're going to change the last vowel of the sukun to a dhamma and add a waw and make it a long vowel. Ra'aytumuhu. Ra'aytumuha. Ra'aytumukum. And so on, whatever. Whatever is the pronoun you're going to add to it. Whenever you add a pronoun, you're going to add a waw in between the pronoun which is the object of the verb and the pronoun which is the fa'il, the subject of the verb. Alright? That's it. It's basically, it's nothing more to it than that. You just got to remember, second person masculine pro, tum, antum. Whenever you're addressing a group of men, males, group of them, plural, talking to them directly, that second person, you're going to put wow there. That's it. Alright, so it's just a matter of practicing with it and getting and reminding yourself of it. And when you get to the next lesson, go back and read it again until it sticks into your head. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, the same thing, if we go over to, I'm going to come back to the footnote, inshallah. I'm going to come back to the footnote. If you go over to the next page, we have what? Ra'aytumuhum. You saw them. Ra'aytumuha. You saw her. Ra'aytumuhunna. You saw them. And here are some more examples with a different verb. Ghasaltumu. Ghasaltum, right? Plus who. If you change the sukun on the meme, ghasaltum, change the sukun to a dhamma and add waw, it will become what? Ghasaltumuhu. And the same thing underneath that. Qataltum. Antum, qataltum. Change the sukun on the meme to a dhamma and add waw. Qataltumuhum. You kill them. And the same thing with the next example, sa'altum. Antum, sa'altum. You all asked, right? Sa'altum, change the sukun to a dhamma and add waw, and you have sa'altumuha. You all asked her. Okay, so that's one point. Now we're going to go back to the previous page again. Go back to page 23. Go back to page 23. And note on the bottom of the page, there's a footnote, right? On the bottom of the page is a footnote. This word here, ra'aytu, ra'aytuhu, for example, right? Ra'aytuhu. It says the dhamma of who, the dhamma of who, this who here, the dhamma is long, if it is preceded by a short vowel, as in lahu. This pronoun here, who, third person masculine singular, who, this pronoun, if it's preceded by a short vowel, like in lahu, or like in ra'aytu, ra'aytuhu, whatever the who is preceded by a short vowel, then it is elongated. And it is short when it's preceded by a consonant or a long vowel. And if it's preceded by a short vowel, it's elongated. If it's preceded by a long vowel, it's left short. Or a consonant, it's left short. For example, a consonant would be like here. And you have this word here, minhu. Okay? Here's the who pronoun. It's preceded by a consonant. Okay, in that case, then it remains short in pronunciation. And a long vowel preceding it is like katabu. Katabu who. Here's the pronoun, who, right? If this pronoun is preceded by a long vowel, like in katabuhu, or is preceded by a consonant, like in minhu, it remains short when it's preceded by a long vowel. But if it's preceded by a short vowel, like in here in lahu, or in ra'aytuhu, it's preceded by a short vowel, it's elongated. That means that this vowel is elongated to two counts. Instead of saying ra'aytuhu, you say ra'aytuhu. Instead of saying lahu, you say lahu. Okay? So this is a special rule. Now you have to pay attention to when you're reading Quran. You have a short vowel there. The pronoun, third person masculine singular, who. When that pronoun is preceded by a short vowel, like in lahu or ra'aytuhu or baytuhu. When it's preceded by a short vowel in the Quran, you have to elongate it, even though there's no long vowel there. Okay, and you will see the sign of it. It will be some indication in the Mus'haf to tell you to make it long, even though there is no long vowel there. Yeah, it'll be a small vowel, or it may be a med even sometimes in some of the Mus'haf. Okay, but the point is, if you learn the rule, whenever you see the pronoun who, third person, masculine, singular, if it's preceded by a short vowel, make it long. If it's preceded by a long vowel, leave it short. That's it. Now. Katabu hu, short. Min hu, short. This one you read lahu, or you read ra'aytuhu. Two counts. Okay, unless there's something else involved there that makes a two count long vowel be extended to four or five or six counts. Okay, the things that make a regular long vowel extended. And in the med asal, wa alaykum salam, the med asal, that's two counts. If it's followed by sukoon, or it's followed by a shadda, or it's followed by a hamza, it becomes elongated. So now this is a two count. Because it's what? It's the pronoun, third person, masculine, singular pronoun, preceded by a short vowel. So it's elongated to two. So now that is like a regular two count long vowel. If it's followed by a hamza, or followed by a sukoon, or followed by a shadda, this is from the rules of tajweed. Then it will be extended to four or five counts, or it will be extended to six counts. Okay, this the rule that applies to regular med tabi'i, two count long vowels, will be applied to this vowel on this pronoun, if it's followed by hamza, or followed by sukoon, or followed by shadda. Shadda means sukoon, right? Shadda means a double vowel, the first one has sukoon. Alright, so that's tajweed. I'm not so concerned about that now, but I'm really more concerned about what? That you know that this pronoun here, it's a short vowel, dhamma, but it's pronounced as a long vowel, two count, if the vowel before it is a short vowel. Okay, anyway, hopefully you read this before, so you had some idea what I'm talking about here. And if you didn't read it before, you'll have a chance between now and next week to go back and read it again. But you must read it. These notes are important. It's important that you read them. Alright? So, that's what we have in point number four, okay? The first thing that we have is that the masculine second person plural tum, antum, ra'aytum, if it's followed by a pronoun, it becomes extended with a vowel. You say ra'aytumuhu, ra'aytumuha, like this. If it's what? Followed by a pronoun. The second thing is when you have the pronoun hu, and likewise the plural of it, hum, if it's preceded by a kasra, it becomes he or him. And the third thing is that the pronoun who, when it's preceded by a short vowel, then it should be pronounced as a two-count long vowel. So these are three things. All of this is contained in point number four. Okay, point number five is probably one of the most important things in this lesson, after point number four. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Point number five is the verb kana. Okay, in this note here, or in the grammatical points here in the key, it doesn't go into a lot of detail about it, but I just want you to understand, even though we're not going to see it now in this lesson, but you need to understand that kana is a different group from inna. Remember we had inna wa akhawatuha? And the akhawatu inna, wa alaykum salam, akhawatu inna means that inna and its akhawat, whenever they are followed by a noun, which is the ism inna, and a noun which is khabru inna, the ism inna is mansub, right? And the khabru inna is marfu'un. Kana is the opposite. Ism kana is marfu'un, and khabru kana is mansubun. It's the opposite of inna. Okay, whatever the rule was for inna, kana is the opposite. If kana has an ism and a khabr, and it does, right? The ism kana is marfu'un, and khabru kana is mansub. The opposite of inna. Inna, the ism inna is mansub. Ism kana is marfu'un. Okay, so the khabr, the ism and khabr of kana is the opposite of the ism and khabr of inna. Alright, so I wanted to say that first. So when we see kana, and later on we'll see some of the akhawatu kana, they work according to this opposite rule that we're going to talk about with kana. Kana. Kana means what? He was. What will be the feminine of kana?
Kanat.
Kanat. Which means she was. She or it, huh? Not tamabuta, ta maftuha, regular ta. Maftuha. Like in any verb, when you have, for example, zahaba, if you want to make it feminine, huwa zahaba, hiya, zahabat, regular ta. Same like this. In a verb, you add regular ta. You don't add tamabuta to a verb. Okay? So you add a regular ta. So you say, zahaba, zahabat, shariba, sharibat, kana, kanat, huwa, wahiya, kana, wa kanat. طيب. Kana means he was. It is used in a nominal sentence. What do we mean by a nominal sentence? A jumla ismiya. What is a jumla ismiya? Huh? Starts with a noun. It's a jumla that starts with a noun. Okay? And that sentence, jumla ismiya, has a mubtada and a khabar. So kana is used with a nominal sentence, with a jumla ismiya. Okay, you have a sentence that has a mubtada and a khabar. If you add kana to that sentence, then this is how it's going to work. The mubtada is going to be marfu'un and the khabar is going to be mansub. The mubtada becomes ism kana and the khabar becomes khabaru kana. And the ism kana is the opposite of ism inna. It's marfu'un. And the khabar is the opposite of khabar inna. It's mansubun. Even though in this lesson we're not going to really see that, but this is the rule for kana. Okay, it's used in a nominal sentence. For example, Bilalun fil fasli. Bilalun is the mubtada, marfu'un. Right? And fil fasli is the khabar, shibh jumla, ja'a wal majrur. Everybody with me?
For example.
No.
If we said, Bilal.
Inna Bilalan. Okay. Naam. Inna Bilalan rajulun tayyibun.
Right.
Okay. Inna Bilalan. Because ism inna is mansub.
Right.
Okay. Inna Bilalan rajulun marfu'un. Right?
Right.
Kana is opposite. Kana Bilalun marfu'un rajulan tayyiban. Naam. Because the khabaru kana is mansub.
Right.
It's the opposite of khabaru inna. Okay. So you say inna Bilalan. You say, Kana Bilalun.
Okay.
Huh? Good? Inna Bilalan mansub. Kana Bilalun marfu'un. It's opposite. Okay? The khabar is also opposite. Okay? So we have a jumla ismiya, Bilalun, mubtada, marfu'un. Fil fasli, khabar, shibh jumla, ja' wal majrur. Harf ja', ism majrur. Bilal is in the class, right? Now we want to use it past tense, that it happened. He was in the class. We just put kana on the same sentence. Kana Bilalun fil fasli. But because the khabar of kana is a shibh jumla, we don't see the nasb. But if it wasn't a shibh jumla, if it was a regular noun, then we would see the khabar of kana has to be mansub. But because it's ja' wal majrur, what do we do with ja' wal majrur? We leave it like it is. Harf ja' wal majrur. Fi, naam, you leave it fi in majrur. Ja' wal majrur. Kana Bilalun, but the main thing is what? The ism kana has to be marfoon. If there was a khabar that was a mufrad, a single word, it would be mansoobun. But here it's jaw al majroor. Okay, kana bilalun fil fasli. Bilal was in the class. Another example. Al mudarrisu fil maktabati. Maktabati. Fi al maktabati. Al mudarrisu is the mubtada. Marfoon, right? And the khabar is jaw al majroor fi al maktabati. The teacher is in the library. If we put kana on the sentence, right? Kana al-mudarrisu fil maktabati. Kana al-mudarrisu. Kana al-mudarrisu, the mubtada, becomes ism kana. Ism kana is marfoon, so there's no change. Because ism kana is marfoon. The khabar kana is mansoob, but here the khabar kana is jaw al-majroor, so it's not going to change. But if it was a single vowel, I mean if it was a single word, a single noun, a mufrad, then we will see it being mansoob. Okay? For example, if you said, if the original sentence was, Al-mudarrisu ghaibun. The teacher is absent, right? You will say, Kana al-mudarrisu ghaibun. Ghaibun. Kana al-mudarrisu ghaibun. Okay, it will be mansoob. But here we have jar al-majroor, so it doesn't change. Okay? Kana al-mudarrisu fil maktabati. The teacher was in the library. Okay, another example. This is not jar al-majroor, right? This is a dharf. And the ism majroor that comes with the dharf. Tahta, right? Whether it was tahta or mama or khalfa, it will be the same rule. The noun after the dharf is majroor bil idafa. So we say, al-qalamu tahta al-kitabi. Al-qalamu is the mubtada. And tahta al-kitabi is the dharf and ism majroor, mudafun ilayh. Al-qalamu tahta al-maktabi. تحت الكتابي. The pen is under the book. كان القلم تحت الكتابي. The pen was under the book. كان الكتاب. The pen was تحت الكتابي. Another example. زينب في المطبخ. زينب في المطبخ. زينب is the مبتدا مرفوع, right? The خبر is في المختبي. جاء والمجرور. زينب is in the kitchen. Zainabu fil matbakhi. If we use kana, we would say kana or what? Kanat. Feminine. Here. Kanat Zainabu fil matbakhi. Zainab was in the kitchen. Zainabu fil matbakhi. Kanat Zainabu fil matbakhi. Zainabu fil matbakhi. Zainab is in the kitchen. Kanat Zainabu fil matbakhi. Matbakhi. Kanat. And Zainab was in the kitchen. Now, a note concerning this, right? Concerning kana, ism kana and khabru kana. Ism kana is marfoon, khabru kana is mansoob. You will notice here that the khabr in each of these examples is a clause, is a jumla, a shibr jumla. Fil maktabi, fil matbakhi, tahta al-kitabi. No change takes place in a clause after the introduction of kana. Okay, it doesn't change as it would change if it was a mufrad. But if the khabar is a noun, not a shibr jumla, if the khabar is a noun, it is rendered mansoob after the introduction of kana. Because what? The khabru kana is mansoobun. Ism kana marfoon with dhamma. Khabru kana mansoobun with fatah.
Otherwise, in general, I'm still in domino.
Mm-hmm. In those examples that we had, the khabar was a shibr jumla. Naam. Jaw al majroor. Or zarf and ism majroor.
In the hidden understanding, it was still considered mansoob, though, right?
Well, it's in the place where it should be mansoob. It's in the place where it should be mansoob. Okay, yes. But it's not mansoob because we don't say that a harf jar is mansoob. And we don't say the ism after the harf jar is mansoob. Right? But the clause itself as a whole is fi mahalli nasb. It's in the place where it should be mansoob. It's in the place where it's, but it's not mansoob.
Well, in translation, I mean, that's what I meant to say. In translation, it's understood, otherwise, it's like a mansoob.
Okay, it's understood that it's khabru kana. And khabru kana is mansoob.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. Okay? We say that the ism kana is marfoon and khabru kana is mansoob. Yeah. But if it's a shibr jumla, then we say fi mahalli nasb. Okay. We don't say it's mansoob, we say fi mahalli nasb. Okay.
Now.
في محل نصب في محل النصب نصب في محل النصب in the place محل where it should be نصب منصوب نصب represents what منصوب منصوب في محل نصب طيب But if the cover is a pronoun, I mean is a noun, it is rendered mansub after the introduction of kana. For example, Bilalun maridun. Mubtada and khabar are both nouns, right? Bilalun maridun means what? Bilal, what does it mean? Bilal is sick. But if we use kana, kana Bilalun maridun. Because Bilal, the Mubtada, becomes Ism Kana, which is Marfu'un. And Maridun, the Khabar, becomes Khabaru Kana, which is Mansubun. So you say, Kana Bilalun Maridun. We will learn this in lesson 25, inshallah. Meaning, we will see how Kana works when the Khabar is the Ism Mufrad, instead of a Shiba Jumla. We'll see it in lesson 25, inshallah. Tayyip, that's Kana, okay? So what do we want to know about Kana? We want to know that kana, it works with a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, a mubtada and a khabar. And the mubtada becomes ism kana. Ism kana is marfu'un with dhamma. And the khabar of that sentence, mubtada and khabar, the khabar becomes khabaru kana. And khabaru kana is mansubun with fat. Alright? Tayyib. Point number six. Point number six is a little bit light, but anyway, you need to pay attention. If you remember mudafun mudafun ilay, inshallah, it should be easy. You remember mudafun mudafun ilay? Okay, the mudafun mudafun ilay. The mudafun it can. No, mudafun mudafun ilay means when two words are connected in a construction that it shows something is a part of something else or related to it in some way, like the door of the house. Okay, the mudafun. It can take Dhamma, Kasra, Fatta. The Mudafun Ilay is always Majroor with Kasra. It's always Majroor. Okay? And they cannot be separated from each other. You'd never separate Mudafun, Mudafun Ilay. You don't put any word in between there. If the Mudafun has a Sifa describing it, you can't put it in between the Mudafun Ilay and the Mudaf. It has to come after. Okay? These two words are construct phrase. Construct phrase means they built together. Can't be separated. Alright? So pay attention to this matter. Alright. Note the following. Rajulun ذو لحية. What is a lihya? Beard. What does ذو mean? Possessor. Sahib. Sahib اللحية. ذو means sahib, the one who possesses something, right? So this sentence, Rajulun ذو لحية. Well, it's not really a sentence, really. It's just a noun and a knot composed of ذو. And it's مضاف إليه. رجل ذو لحية. What does it mean? A man. رجل, right, is a noun. And ذو لحية, this مضاف مضاف إليه construction, is a knot describing رجل. What kind of رجل? رجل who possess a beard. A bearded man. A bearded man. Okay? Beard is a knot describing man. And we know in Arabic the knot comes after the man'ut, right? And in this case, the knot is the word ذو, that's the knot, ذو, and لحية, which is مضاف إليه, مضاف to ذو. Because ذو is a word, the noun that comes after it is always مضاف إليه. Huh? ذو لحية, ذو علم, ذو خلق, right? It's always مضاف إليه. Alright, so the noun is رجل, and the knot is ذو and لحية is مضاف إليه. Alright? So what we have? A knot and manout.
Basically,
ذو
and
لحية
cannot be separated.
مضاف إليه cannot be separated. That we had in lesson what? Book 1. Book 1. Lesson 5. You've forgotten by now. 25 lessons ago. or something like that. Rajulun ذو لحيتين. Now, let's look at the next sentence. The bearded man. الرجل ذو اللحية. ذو اللحية. What do we have here? الرجل is a noun, right? The man out. And ذو is the knot. And we know that a knot always has to agree with the man out in four things, right? And one of them, if the man out is definite with alif lam, then the knot also has to be definite with alif lam, right? But ذو here is مضافٌ and لحية is مضافٌ إليه. And the مضاف can never take alif lam or tanween. Is that clear? مضافٌ never takes alif lam or tanween. How does it become definite? How does a word that is مضافٌ become definite if it can't take alif lam? Huh? مضافٌ إليه. By the مضافٌ إليه. The word that's connected to an idafa, if it's indefinite, the mudaf is indefinite. If it's definite, the mudaf is definite. Alright? That's the rule that we had in lesson 5, book 1. That's the rule that we want to apply here. A word that's mudaf, mudaf ilay, the mudaf never takes alif lam, but it becomes definite. If you need to make it definite, you make the mudaf ilay definite. It's definite by position, we say. If you want it to be indefinite, you make the mudafun ilayhi, the thing that's connected to it, indefinite. So in the first example, rajulun is indefinite. So we made the mudafun ilay indefinite. And that makes dhu indefinite, which is a not for rajulun. So rajulun is indefinite, dhu becomes indefinite because the mudafun ilay is indefinite. In the second case, ar-rajulu is definite. And we can't put alif lam on dhu, right? So we make the mudafun ilay definite, al-lihyati. And then ذو becomes definite as a knot for الرجل which is definite. Is it clear? It's simple really. If we remember إضافة, it's simple. We gotta remember two things. That in the إضافة construction, the مضافة إليه cannot take alif lam or tanween. But it becomes definite or indefinite by the مضافة إليه. By position. So if the مضافة إليه is indefinite, the مضافة is indefinite. And if the مضافة إليه is definite, then the مضافة becomes definite. So if we have a noun that's definite, and we're using ذو to describe it. We can't put alif lam on ذو when it's in idafa. So we put alif lam on the mudafun ilay. That makes ذو definite. So it's in agreement with the man'ut that it's describing. The not and man'ut have to agree in being definite or indefinite and so on. Alright? So الرجلُ ذو اللحيتي. The bearded man. Okay. ذو is not. And لحية. Is mudafun ilayhi.
I mean,
it's
not a being described. I mean,
what
we get, we don't get just a.
ذو لحية is mudafun ilayhi.
That's it.
That's what it is. The idafa construction.
It's, yeah, that's it. No cover, no nothing else.
No, mudafun has nothing to do with cover or anything.
Right.
Okay, how can it be a cover right. if it's a sifa right. describing ar-rajulu?
So the
sifa is a sifa.
Right.
Okay, ذو is the sifa. الرجل ذو اللحية. الرجل is the مبتدأ. ذو is the sifa. And اللحية is مضاف إليه. We don't have a خبر yet. We need a خبر if we want to make a full sentence, right? الرجل ذو اللحية قصير. He's short. Or الرجل ذو اللحية غني. The bearded man is rich. Or الرجل ذو اللحية مسلمون لا شك مسلمون لا شك هو مسلمون لا يمكن في هذه المدينة يمكن
بدون لحية مشاة
Now maybe the Muslim he doesn't have a beard right may Allah help him inshallah and help us all we're in need of help You mean who couldn't grow a beard? They can't grow a beard. That's different. That's different. That's different. That's different. In any case, what we're saying here is that whenever you have ذو, which is connected to a noun, مضافن إليه, and you need to make it definite because it's a not describing a man'ut that's definite, then you make the مضافن إليه definite, that makes the ذو definite. Okay, they're explaining it here. In the first example, ذو qualifies an indefinite noun, رجلٌ. And in the second example, a definite noun, which is الرجلُ. We know that the adjective of a definite noun should also be definite. But ذو is مُضَافٌ and cannot take alif lam. So this is overcome by making the مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ definite by adding alif lam. So in رجلٌ, ذو لِحْيَةٍ, the مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ remains indefinite. And in الرَّجُلُ ذُو الْلِحْيَةِ, it becomes definite, الْلِحْيَة. Here are some more examples. Okay, there's a footnote here that I skipped over, but ذُو is مُضَافٌ and cannot take alif lam. They said, footnote number 6, see the key to part 1, page 12, meaning what we talked about, مُضَافٌ, مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ in book 1. Alright, we're not going to go back to that now. We already explained it. That's something, inshallah, that you remember. Anyway. Okay, here are some more examples. عندي كتاب ذو غلاف جميل. عندي كتاب ذو غلاف جميل. I have a book with a beautiful cover. عندي كتاب. Okay, this sentence is a little bit tricky. But عندي is not the مبتدأ. Alright? What is it? What kind of khabar? I mean, it got to be something, a mubtada or khabar. If I said it's not the mubtada, it got to be the khabar. But what kind of khabar? No, no khabar indi. Indi is the khabar. But what kind of khabar? What kind of khabar do we have? It's khabar muqad. Who said that? You said it? Muqaddam. It's the khabar that came advanced. And if the khabar is supposed to come after, right? Mubtada comes first and khabar comes second. But this khabar is muqaddam. It came ahead of its place. So indi is the khabar. Kitabun is the mubtada. What time of mubtada? Mubtada? Muakhar. Opposite. Muakhar. It's delayed. It's supposed to come first, it comes second. Excuse the brother. Okay, indi. Kitabun. So indi is the khabar. And kitabun is the mubtada muakhar. And dhu is what? Dhu ghilafin. What is dhu ghilafin? Okay, before is mudaf mudafin ilay. What is it also besides mudaf mudafin ilay? It's a sifa. Sifa describing what? Kitabun. Kitabun is man'ut. And dhu is a sifa or not. Describing kitab. What kind of kitab? A kitab ذو غلاف. ذو غلاف. So ذو is a not describing kitab, the man'ut. And غلاف is مضاف إليه مجرور. And what is جميل? Huh? A sifa also, a not describing what? غلاف. غلاف. What type of غلاف? جميل. غلاف جميل. Well, if somebody said that it's a not describing ذو, what would you say to them? Would you say they're right or wrong, maybe? Perhaps it could be, right? Or what would you say? I'm asking you, what would you say? If they said, no, جميلٌ is a not describing ذو. Not غلاف, it's describing ذو. Huh? So you said it wrong? If they say that, they're wrong? You said it wrong, or you say maybe it could be like that? You're saying you don't know. Okay, that's good too. You don't know. But I think Ibrahim is saying they're wrong. He's saying they're wrong, but he doesn't want to say it. He's just so polite. He doesn't want to say you're wrong. But they are wrong. No, they're wrong. But if you said it wrong, you got to bring a proof. What's your proof? The not and the manut got to be in agreement. Dhu is marfu'un and jamilun is majrurun. How can it be a not for dhu? Is it clear? Huh? How can it be a not for ذو? ذو is marfu' with dhamma. And jamilun is majrurun. So what is it in agreement with? Ghilafin. It's in agreement with ghilafin. Naam. It's mudhakkar, mudhakkar. It's majrur, majrur. And it's yani ghilafin, indefinite. Jamilun, indefinite. Naam. Indi kitabun ذو ghilafin jamilun. Okay. Jamil is a not describing ghilaf.
And ذو is not also, right?
Zuh is a knot for kitab.
Right.
And Jamil is a knot for ghilaf. طيب, next example. الكتاب ذو الغلاف الجميل غال. الكتاب ذو الغلاف الجميل غال. Okay, where's the mubtada in this sentence? الكتاب is the mubtada مرفوع. طيب, where's the خبر?
نعم.
All of that is the khabar?
No.
Nah, the khabar is what? Jamil, some people say gilaf, some people said all of it. Okay, look, al-kitabu is the mubtada. Dhu, huh? No. Dhu is the khabar. Gilafin is mudafin ilay. Dhu is the khabar. Gilafin is mudafin ilay. It's mudafin ilay. Now, and Jamil is what? A sifu or not for what? For dhu or gilaf or kitab? For ghalin? You mean the not is coming before the manout? Is that possible? The not can the not come before the manout? It's not possible. Not possible. The manout comes first and the not comes after. Okay, so it's relatively simple, right? Al kitabu is mubtada'u. Dhu is khabar. Ghilaf is mudafun ilay, and al jamil is a knot describing al ghilaf.
And ghalin is what?
And ghalin, I'm sorry. Actually, naam, ghalin is the khabar of this sentence. Those are not describing kitab. Ghilaf is mudafun ilay, jamil is a knot describing ghilaf, and ghalin is the actual khabar. But if ghalin is the khabar, why is it majrurun? Because it's a knot?
No.
Is it a knot or is it the khabar? I think it's actually the khabar. So how can it be the khabar and it's majrur? Al-kitabu dhu al-ghilafi al-jamili ghalin. It's not. Ghalin is not mudafun ilay. Ghilaf is mudafun ilay. Mudafun ilay is majrur. But khabar is marfu'un. Huh?
It is
marfu'. It is marfu'. Naam. But it's manqus. It's a manqus. So even though it has the origin of it is ghaliyun, but the ya is deleted and it's replaced by the kasra being doubled to tanween.
Let me take you back one time.
The book with the beautiful cover, yani the book with the beautiful cover, possessing a beautiful cover is a knot, right? Is expensive. That's the khabar. Is expensive.
Okay, now the cover is what's the cover now here in the case here?
The ghilaf is mudafun ilay.
Okay. And the jamil is a knot.
Is a knot for ghilaf.
And the
cover
is the
ghalin is the
cover. And also
dhu
is the
cover. No, dhu is the knot. Dhu is the knot. Now, al-kitabu dhu ghilafin al-jamil. Dhu is the knot describing book. Ghilaf is mudafun ilay. Al-jamil is the knot describing ghilaf. And ghalin is the khabar. Ghalin is the khabar. Naam. Okay, next example. Fi qaryatina masjidun. Dhu manaratin wahidatin. In our village there is a mosque with one minaret. Fi qaryatina masjidun dhu manaratin wahidatin. Where's the mubtada? Masjidun? Masjidun is khabar. What kind of khabar? I mean, is the mubtada. What kind of mubtada? Mu'akhar. It's delayed. Because it's indefinite. Whenever the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is shibah jumla, the order is reversed. So fi qaryatina is the khabar muqaddam and masjidun is the mubtada muakhar. So the original sense is masjidun fi qaryatina. There is a masjid in our village.
Naam, Qaryatina is our village. Qarya is village. Qarya. Qaryatina, our village. Fi Qaryatina masjidun dhu manaratin. What is dhu in this sentence? Anat describing masjid. And manara? Mudawfun ilay majroor. And wahid? Wahida? A sifra anat describing? Manaratin. Naam, manaratin wahidatin. Fi qaryatina jaw al majrur is the khabar muqaddam. Masjidun is the mubtada muakhir. And dhu is a not describing masjid. Manara is mudafun ilay majrur. And wahidatin is a not describing manara. Okay, last example. Al masjidu dhu al manarati al wahidati qadimun. المسجد ذو المنارة الواحدة قديم. المسجد is what? مبتدا مرفوع والضمة. ذو is what? A sifra or not? Sifra or not? Describing what? المسجد. What kind of masjid? ذو. منارتي is what? مضاف إليه مجرور. And الواحدة is what? Not. Describing? المنارة. And qadimun is what? Khabar, khabar, khabar. The masjid, the mosque with 1 minaret is what? The mosque, right? The masjid is the mubtada. Dhu manara, wahidatin is all describing the masjid. And khabar is what you want to say about it. The masjid with 1 minaret is what? Old. Which masjid? The one with 1 minaret. That's the description of the masjid. And what about it? It's old. Khabar, naam. Okay, so dhu, it's not really difficult, it's just a matter of practicing with it a little bit and trying to remember that if it's describing a word that's definite, you gotta make it definite by making the mudafun ilay definite. And otherwise, if it's indefinite, then likewise, the mudafun ilay has to be indefinite. Okay, one more, play with the words here, structure of words. The letter meem in dhahabtum and kitabuhum and the pronoun منفصل هم and كتابكم مضافا إليه يعني the pronoun that is مجرور in the place of being مجرور and أنتم أنتم وهم كتابكم and كتابهم and ذهبتم in verb form all of these endings the meme in these endings has سكون أنتم هم كتابكم كتابهم ذهبتم the meme has سكون and this سكون changes to ضمة when followed by حمزة الوصل. When followed by what? Hamzatul Wasl. For example, Baytukum with 10 with sukun becomes Baytukumul Jadid. Baytukumul Jadid. Huh? Kum with sukun becomes Dhamma. Madmum. Okay? Ra'aytum. Right? Tum is the fa'il for this verb. Second person, masculine plural. Ra'aytum. Antum Ra'aytum. Ra'aytum, if it's followed by Hamzat al-Wasl, you say Ra'aytumul imama. Or Ara'aytumul imama. That's the question. Ara'aytumul imama. Ra'aytum, Ra'a is the verb, fa'il, the fa'il. Tum is the fa'il. And imam is the what? Maf'ulun bi mansub. Wa alamatu nasbihi wa fatha. Tayyib. Kitabuhum. Kitabuhum. With sukun, if it's followed by Hamzat al-Wasl, you say Kitabuhumul Kadimu. Kitabuhumul Kadimu. Which means what? Their book? Their old book. Their old book. Kitabuhumul Kadimu. Then we have Sa'altum, right? Antum Sa'altum. Asa'altum Ibnahu. أسألتم ابنه means what? أسألتم ابنه huh? Yeah. Now listen, سأل سأل ask. Did you all ask whose son? His son ابنه. ابن is the مفعول به منصوب ولامة نصبه فتح. And who is مضاف إليه? في محل جر in the place where it should be مجرور مضاف إليه. طيب, so in any case, the main thing that they're saying, kun and hum and tum, that meme with sukoon is replaced by a dhamma when it's followed by hamzatul wasl. Whether it's alif lam or word like ibn or ibna or ism or any word that begins with hamzatul wasl. Doesn't always have to be alif lam. Okay, so they gave you an example of ibn to show you. It could be any word that begins with hamzatul wasl. Okay, the last of what is mentioned here, point number 8, abshir. It literally means rejoice at the good news. Yani, take the bushra, the good news. Abshir. It is said in reply to a request. If somebody asks for something and you say to them, abshir, it implies, don't worry, you will get what you want. Huh? If you go to the brother and you tell him, I need a couple of dollars to get to my job, my paycheck is waiting for me. And he said to you, what? Abshir. Don't worry, you will get it. And then you wait for him to go in his pocket and give it up, right? But he told you, don't worry. So don't worry.
Well, no, in that sense, it means like he can give the check or can give the money.
No, abshir, abshir. Whatever, what you ask for, you're going to get it. Don't worry. Abshir means you got it. Don't worry. Abshir. When the person, a Muslim says to you, abshir, you're good to go. Inshallah. Don't worry, you'll get what you want. That's abshir, okay? Number 9, thuluthun, a third. Fractions, it should be, instead of, I don't know, fractions meaning one third, one fourth, one fifth, etc., up to one tenth, are on the pattern of fu'ulun, fu'ulun. The dhamma of the second letter, the ayn, is mostly omitted. Usually that dhamma of the wazn fu'ul is omitted, except in thuluthun and sudusun, however, retain it. In other words, you say rub'un, khumsun, tus'un, but for these two, thuluthun and sudusun, the dhamma is retained. For the rest of them, you can leave the dhamma off and make it sukoon. Alright, and that's all we have in this lesson. We can look at the vocabulary quickly. Okay? Al-usbu'u al-madi, last week. Manaratun, minaret. Lihyatun, beard. Alin, high or loud. If it's feminine, you say, instead of alin, you say, aliyatun. The ya is retained and tharmabut is added for femininity. Mulawwanun. Mulawwanun. Should be what? Colored. Mulawwa with fatta. Shedda on the wow with a fatta. Mulawwanun. Colored. Something that's colored. Sabahun means morning, in the morning. Nisfun means a half of something. Masha yamshi means he walked. Akhada ya'khudu means he took. Akhada. Wada means he placed or put something down. Wajada means he found something. Wajada. Bahatha an. This verb bahatha is used with a preposition an. When you say you looked for something or you searched for something, you have to say bahaftu an al-kitab. I search for the book. Okay? Miknasatun from kenasa, which means to sweep. Miknasatun is a broom with the preposition mi, which means a tool or instrument. Like miftahun, miknasatun. Nadharatun, with shadda on the va. Nadharatun, spectacles or eyeglasses. Suratun, with sad. Suratun is a picture, as opposed to suratun with seen, which means what? A chapter of the Quran. This surah with sad. Sabunun means what? Soap. Asirun with sad. Asirun means juice. Quratul qadami, football, means the ball of the foot. And football here is the game that you play with your feet. Not the one where you throw the ball around and people try to catch it and they try to break your bones in when they attack you. That's handball. But they call it football in America and the rest of the world. Football is soccer. Naam. Quratul qadam. That's the ball that you kick around with your foot. That's real football. Huh? I don't know. I never played it. Anyway. Sullamun. Sullamun. Staircase. Ajalatun. A wheel. Ajalatun. Idha'atun. Broadcasting or radio station. Idha'atun. Idha'atul Quran. The Quran station.
Al-barihata, last night. It's mansub because it is maful fihi. Zarf al-zaman. Al-barihata. Like you say, I saw him last night. Ra'aytu Ahmed al-barihata. Maf'ulun fihi mansub with fatta. Burtuqalun, orange. Qurata sallati. That's the ball of the net. Netball, basketball. Na'am. And that is it. Okay. We have a few minutes remaining. I guess we can read some of the dialogue here. But we can't analyze it. We don't have enough time to analyze it. It's a little bit lengthy. Okay, so let's just read it a little bit. But try to analyze it at home. And inshallah, if you have any questions about it, we'll do it when we come to class next week. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, al-ab and al-abna. Aina, I want you to translate for me, okay? You can look at the book, it's no problem. But I want you to translate. Aina zahabtum ba'd al-darsi ya abna'i. Where did you all go? After the lesson? Oh, my sons. The son said, Zahabna ila al-mal'abi. We went to play? We went to the playground. Al-mal'ab. Naam. Al-ab says, Akurat al-qadami la'ibtum am kurat sallati. Did you play football? Or basketball? Laibna liya, huh? Football, soccer. No, real football. I'm just joking with the people who like to play the other football. طيب, laibna liyawma kurat al-qadami. What does that mean? Laibna liyawma kurat al-qadami.
We played football.
Today we played football. Al-yawma, why does it have fatta, al-yawma? Time is zarf al-zaman, maf'ul fi zarf al-zaman, indicating time. La'ibna kurat al-sallati fi al-usbu'i al-madi. We played basketball last week. Enough of that. Ama zahabtum ila al-mattabati al-yawma? Did you go? Did you not go? Did you not go to the maktab, to the library today? Bala. Zahabna. Of course we went. Mada qara'tum hunaka. What did you all read there? Qara'na as-suhuf. As-suhufa. We read the newspapers. Plural. Suhuf. The father. أسمعتم الأخبار من الإذاعة اليوم؟ أسمعتم الأخبار من الإذاعة اليوم؟ Did you hear the news from the broadcasting or radio station today? نعم سمعناها. Yes, we heard it. من أي إذاعة سمعتم؟ Which radio station did you listen to? From which one did you listen? سمعنا من ثلاث إذاعة. We listened from the third radio station? Three stations. من إذاعة الرياض وإذاعة القاهرة وإذاعة لندن. Naam, from Riyadh radio station, from Cairo radio station, and from London radio station. Al-Ab, سمعتُ أن بلالاً مريضٌ وأنه في المستشفى. الصحيح هذا؟ I heard that Bilal is sick and that he is in the hospital. المستشفى. Oh yeah, Bilal. Which word? What name you got? Yeah, they changed it. This is the original right here. This is the original. Yeah, you got the innovated copy. سمعت أن بلال مريض وأنه في المستشفى. الصحيح هذا. What does that mean? الصحيح هذا. Is this true? نعم. هذا صحيح. شفاه الله. Yes, this is true. May Allah grant him recovery, heal him, cure him. Ameen. To the dua. Mata dakhala al-mustashfa?
When did he enter the hospital?
Dakhala qabla thalathati ayyamin. He entered before 3 days or 3 days ago. Ayn al-kitabu dhul ghilafi al-ahmari alladhi kana fi ghurfati. Where is the book? Ahmar? Red cover. Alladhi kana fi ghurfati. That was in my room. Ara'aytumuhu? Did you all see it? أنا أخذته البارحة وقرأت نصفه. I took it last night. And I read half of it one night. Must have been up all night. وأين المجلة التي كانت تحت ذاك الكتاب؟ Where's the magazine التي كانت تحت that was under that كتاب that book أهذه هي أهذه هي is this it لا المجلة ذات الغلاف الأصفر no the magazine with the yellow cover هي عندي أخذتها اليوم. Marwan answers, here indi. It is with me. What is he referring to? Here means what? Al Majalla. It is with me. I took it yesterday. Today. Naam. Yarinnu al Jarasu. What does that mean? يَرِنُّ رَنَّ يَرِنُّ The bell is ringing. فَيَكُومُ مَرْوَانُ فَيَكُومُ مَرْوَانُ What does that mean? Marwan stands up. وَيَفْتَحُ الْبَابَ And opens the door. وَتَدْخُلُ أَخَوَاتُهُ أَخَوَات His sisters enter. البنات they say السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته we don't need to translate that الجميع they answer وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته الأب أين ذهبتن يا بناتي where did you all go oh my daughters my girls they said ذهبنا لزيارة المديرة went to visit her Female director, headmistress. Al-Ab, Amashaytunna am dhahabtunna bis-sayyarati? Did you all walk or did you go by car? Mashayna, li'anna baytaha qareebun min madrasatina. Huwa bayna al-masjidi wal-madrasati. We walked because her house is near from our school. Huwa, what do you, huwa is refers to what? The house, naam, the bait. Huwa bayn al-masjidi wal-madrasati. Between the masjid and the school. The father says, أوجدتنها في البيت Did you all find her in the house? نعم وجدناها Yes, we found her. جلسنا عندها ثلث ساعة We sat with her 3 minutes? ثلث ساعة A third, one third of an hour, which is equal to how many minutes? 20. We sat with her for a third of an hour, for 20 minutes. وَخَرَجْنَا مِنْ بَيْتِهَا فِي السَّاعَةِ الْخَامِسَةِ وَخَرَجْنَا مِنْ بَيْتِهَا We left from her house في الساعة الخامسة at 5 o'clock the fifth hour 5 o'clock أرأيتن المكنسة يا بنات يا بنات did you all see the broom oh my daughters بحثت عنها كثيرا وما وجدتها I searched for it a lot وما وجدتها and I didn't find it didn't find what المكنسة the broom أنا وضعتها سؤال says أنا وضعتها تحت سلمي هذا الصباح huh? I put it under the stairs هذا الصباح this morning مروان says يا أمي أفي الثلاجة ماء بارد Oh my mother, أفي الثلاجة ماء بارد Is there any cold water in the refrigerator? نحن عطاش We are thirsty says أبشير Don't worry, you will get it فيها ماء بارد In the refrigerator is cold water. وعصير برتقال. And even some orange juice. Not only cold water, some orange juice too. Abshir. You got it. Okay. Abshir means what? Accept the good news. That's the literal meaning of it. But it refers to what? The meaning of it, the tender meaning is, don't worry. You will get it. Whatever you're asking for, don't worry, you will get it. Yeah, but the meaning of it is not a command, but the meaning of it is, yani, or if it's a command, it means accept, take the good news, the bushra, take the bushra, yani, accept the good news, abshir. Naam. Okay, so this is the lesson, and we saw some of the things in this lesson here that we talked about, especially the feminine, the plurals and. Dhamma, Untum, and Hum, and Ra'aytum, and Kum, and whatever else is there. There are a number of points in this lesson, grammatical points, a lot of them. Hopefully, you go back over and read it for homework, inshallah. And read the key again. Study the vocabulary. Start memorizing 2 or 3 words a day, inshallah. And do the first 2, 3... Try to do the first 4 exercises, okay, inshallah. How many exercises in this lesson? A lot. 12? Yeah, it's a lot. So at least, let's try to do some of the exercises for homework, as many as you can. If you can do more, do more. 5, 6, try to do half of them if you can. Try to do 6. If you have any question, call somebody or come to the masjid for Isha or Fajr. If you don't live all the way out on Long Island. You live all the way out on Long Island, like Salahuddin, Abdul Halim, and Ibrahim. Then you gotta call each other. Y'all can read the masjid out in Long Island. Khalas. Tayyib? Okay, any questions about this lesson? Asir Burtuqalin is mudafun ilay. Naam. How do we know? Number one, the mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween. And number two, the mudafun ilay is always majroor. Right? So we know that a noun, it should either have alif lam or tanween, unless it's mamnu'a min as-sarf. And asirun is not on the wazn, that's mamnu min asarf. So why doesn't it have tanween or alif lam, one of them? And the second clue is that the word that comes after is majroor, and there's no preposition, so why is it majroor? Mudaf ilayhi. Tayyib, any other question? Any other question? Anyway, the most important thing at this point, we lost a little bit of time today, but alhamdulillah, it was for great good. May Allah accept our dua for our brother who has accepted Islam today and help him and strengthen him and keep him firm and please if he comes to the masjid make him want to come back again be good to him make him feel this is a place that I want to be in all the time I want to come here every day these people are the people I want to be around don't make him feel like wow shoo, I don't want to go back there again huh be careful brothers sometimes we run people away person a new Muslim be easy Don't put a lot of pressure on them. Just be easy. Try to, take it easy. Give them slow, little by little. Person can't change overnight. He got a little something here or there. Don't pick every fault you see on him and tell him, oh, brother, well, be easy. Like a little bit at a time. Teach him something, give him a gift, take him out to dinner or something, buy him an apple or a banana or something. You know, try to be easy with the brother and don't pick out all his faults. But rather, just encourage him to do good. Teach him how to make salat. Teach him how to make wudu. Teach him something about tawheed. Give him a book. But give him a book, brother, that you know is a good book. That's easy, that's on his level. Don't give him some advanced explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah. That's too much. Give him an easy baby book, you know, with some baby questions for children or something, you know. Now, teach him Kul Huwa Allah Wahad. Teach him Surah Al-Kawthar. Something like this, huh? Be easy. Teach him Al-Fatiha. That's what we're going to start with, inshallah. Teach him how to make wudu so he can learn how to make wudu. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.